funny thing is he said he wasn't going to do that because it was going to make Zane laugh.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 57 of Cracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Sean.
I'm Fartman.
Oh man, that classic Howard Stern character that nobody can get enough of.
No, seriously though, I'm Josh.
And it's the Heinz ketchup episode
57
of Cracking the Spine.
What else is 57 Chevy?
Let's get some French fries. Okay. Although you don't like ketchup on your French fries,
yes,
which
we
have discussed before. This is crazy.
Yep. Thank you.
This is absolutely.
Now you're where I'm at.
This is vice versa.
It's crazy.
Starring Judge Reinhold and. No, wait, was that vice versa? No, it was Fred Savage and Judge Reinhold.
We are naming every American classic actor right now. That's
it was what, it was in the, like that string of like there were like three movies in like 1988 where they switched places.
Yeah, it was Freaky Friday situation.
Freaky Friday. There was 18 again. There was
that was recently.
That was George Burns and they remade it. It was
that was a remake.
It was George Burns and the guy who played Parker Lewis or not Parker Lewis. The guy who played Ferris Bueller in the short-lived
Ferris Bueller television show. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And then there was Savage, Judge Reinhold one, which was...
Princess Bride.
That was vice versa.
Oh, my God.
And then there was the Dudley Moore, Kirk Cameron one, which was like Father Like Son.
Was Dudley Moore drunk in that?
Probably.
It's me, Dudley Moore. I'm drunk in movies.
Pretty good Dudley Moore,
Thank you.
Very good.
So, I don't know, where do we start? Josh, what did you read this week?
I didn't read anything this week.
All right.
I was pretty busy. I did play Skyrim, though.
Josh is hunting down all the butters in Skyrim.
That's right, Josh is on a butter quest.
Look,
if you know where to find butters in Skyrim, crackingthespineshow@gmail.com.
I just don't understand how an agrarian society doesn't have butter. It doesn't make sense to me.
Why would they have butter? They don't have, like...
They have bread.
They don't have cows.
Yes, they do. You don't own a cow in Skyrim?
I don't own any. I don't own anything. I don't put down roots in Skyrim.
Here we go. Buddha over here.
Leave only footprints. Take only...
lives.
There it is. Sean, what are you reading?
I realized when editing the show last week that we got so caught up in me forgetting what I was reading the week before that I didn't actually mention last week what I was reading last week.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
I don't remember.
I said
anything.
I finished Black Chalk.
Oh, okay.
But then I never got to what I was actually reading last week, which was, and I finished it this week, a book called Will Not, all one word, by a guy, fellow named James Salas, that was given to me by an editor friend of mine. It does sound like salad. and it's like, it was just like Americana, slice of life kind of thing. It was good. It's not the kind of thing it's not usually my like
kind of like
forte.
A Stephen King Americana slice of life thing?
No.
They don't find a dead body or nothing?
No, I mean, they do find dead bodies right in the beginning, but it's not like, it's not a murder mystery. It's this like small town American doctor and like the things that happen to him. There's like a vet home from Afghanistan.
Okay.
It's like, it was like an hour
long. Oh, it's a modern day.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah.
I thought it was like in the 60s. Whenever someone says Americana 50s and 60s, I always...
No, it was like a modern, like, okay. You know, slice of life kind of thing. But it was good.
Arachnophobia, like that plot.
Yeah, I guess.
He goes to the town, he's a doctor, and they live in San Francisco, and he wants to
live... Hollywood.
Doc Hollywood. not his name. Maybe it is.
I think I've seen Arachnophobia. I think.
You have?
I think.
Did you get Cinemax for free in the 90s at any time?
You don't remember seeing Arachnophobia?
Nah.
You wouldn't. You've seen it. I'm almost positive.
That's spiders, right?
Yeah.
Like killer spiders?
He uses a nail gun and a Molotov cocktail and he kills all the spiders in the end. John Goodman's in it for two scenes.
Nah, I mean, if I've seen it, it doesn't resonate.
Weird.
Well, now I know what we're doing next podcast.
But before I get sidetracked again, so I started... well, I'm just saying, because this one happened to me last week.
Yes.
It's my own fault. I'm reading the new Paul Tremblay, who wrote A Head Full of Ghosts.
Uh-huh.
Josh, I can get that back at any point now.
Yeah, I'll bring it back next time. Just remind me.
It's new book, which is due out in June, called The Disappearance at Devil's Rock, which I'm about...
Does this one have ghosts in it?
About 60 pages into it, and it looks like there's going to be another ghost story.
Yay!
And again, it's like the main characters are like elementary school and high school students, and once again, he's captured that like...
Oh, yeah.
That dread of being that age.
Yeah.
It's good. Zane, you'll love it. Yeah, I want to give it to you.
I think maybe that's why I didn't like The Head Full of Ghosts all that much, because it reminded me too much of being an awkward weirdo.
All right.
The awkward weirdo stage of life.
I did have another book for you, too, Josh.
I'm still working my way through it, but...
I've been working my way through this stage, babe.
I mean, I'll be dead someday. That'll be done.
Fair enough. But I have a book for you.
Yes, Josh. I want to read... I also want to read... The freaking Chicago. Yeah, the Chicago.
Oh,
Chicago
right.
You told me not to bring it for you.
What's, I didn't ever say that.
I got a book this week called...
You said you wanted to finish the Chuck Klosterman first.
All right, I did say that. Go ahead.
It's called Life Moves Pretty Fast, Lessons We Learned from the 80s Movies, and why Movies Don't Teach Lessons Anymore.
All right, I'm into that.
So, I don't know. It seems like maybe it's your cup of tea. I would be into that. It might be a little bit too, like, I think coming off the Chuck Klosterman, where Chuck Klosterman is like, nothing in pop culture matters. This is like the other end of the spectrum, where like, everything from my pop culture reference mattered.
Yeah, I really think I like, ruined myself by reading those two really horrible Ernest Cline books. Yeah. So now anytime I hear or read anything that's like, here's why this is important, I just get that taste in the back of my throat that makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
Because I hate that like self-important bullshit.
I lived through it, therefore it was the most important thing ever. Right. Yeah. Zane, what are you reading?
I am actually, a few weeks ago, a listener sent me a copy of Clive Barker's Books of Blood.
Oh, yeah, our anonymous gift giver.
Yeah.
Waiting on that Chuck Tingle.
And it finally made its way to me because it came to the bookstore.
Right.
So it finally made its way to me last week. So thank you, anonymous book sender.
Do you want to give your address on the show so people can send books right to you?
No, do not give your address on the show. Don't give mine either.
123 Awesome Lane.
Sean's house. Sylvania.
Sean's house.
Thank you for that.
But so I'm reading my way through that. I had previously read book one of the Books of Blood, I think, but this is like books one through three.
Are they do they tell, like, is it the same story, like three parts, or is it like three different kinds of blood?
No.
I don't know.
No, I mean, it's basically like a collection of short horror stories.
Does he do Pumpkinhead?
I don't know.
He does Midnight Meat Train.
Midnight Meat Train.
Don't go to that website.
They might have changed hands.
Yeah, it's a thicket.
It's good though. It's like, it's good horror. I don't always love short stories, but I talked about it.
Right.
A million episodes ago. So
wait, you love short stories?
Good listening. I don't love sitting down and reading a book of short stories. That's not my favorite.
She's good at reading short stories on the podcast.
That's
though.
True.
I like a short story, but like to sit down and read collection of short stories.
She just nearly elbowed him in the face.
Shanked me with this pen, this research pen that you have.
So, cool. Let's go ahead and, you know, do that thing where we, you know, put some music on and people can listen to music for a minute. We take a break.
It's not a minute.
It's less than a minute.
It's like I do when I edit the show.
Oh my god, we'll be right back after this short break.
He's the new Sean this week.
There's like 27 seconds. Cracking the spine. I'm totally cool with that fart sound.
Yeah.
I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
I'm Fartman.
You're Fartman's back. Oh my god.
Nah, it's just gets me. It's Sean.
Oh yeah.
Sorry
yeah.
guys.
Yeah. Whew. But dodge that bullet.
Baba booey. All right.
Oh, I wanted to mention something from the last episode.
Okay.
We could save this to the end, I guess.
No, but I think we're doing it.
I did some Chuck Tingle research. You can buy Chuck Tingle t-shirts.
Go on.
One of them is a unicorn, but the John Deere logo that just says Chuck Tingle. Another one is the cover of a book.
How much is that John Deere unicorn?
$24.
That's $24.
It's a lot of money.
I would get the book cover one, which is $22.
Yeah, and I'm a large, so, I mean, I wouldn't buy that for $24, but if it showed up at the Doylestown Bookshop, I'd wear it.
Now you're podcasting.
Jeez.
They always yell at me when we do the other podcast. They always like, don't ask for free stuff.
I didn't ask for anything.
That's what I'm saying.
I just stated some facts.
I wouldn't be opposed.
Men's large. All right. Zane.
ChuckTingle.com.
Zane, what are we talking about?
Today we are talking about plays.
Oh, God.
Save it for the show. Oh, wait, this is the
show. Oh, we're doing the show.
So on our Reddit, which is
Cracking the Spine Pod.
Yes.
Reddit user Banjo Story.
Banjo Story.
Terrible.
There's a pinned thread.
Right, I did that.
About show
topics. You pinned it? Because I started the thread.
So, you know, if you have any good ideas, that's a great place to send them if you want to post it on Reddit.
And he threw a bunch up.
He had a bunch up, so look forward to hearing this name over and over again. Banjo
Story. Banjo
Story.
Banjo Story.
Banjo Kazooie.
No.
So he suggested that we talk about plays, and he said, I've read Romeo and Juliet a handful of times through school, but I've never actually seen it performed. Does the fact that something was written as a play change the way that you approach reading it?
Yes.
Yes. I think everyone would answer that question yes, regardless of how you feel about plays.
Here's the thing.
All right, what's the thing?
Oh boy.
Here's the thing about me. This is just my opinion, and it's completely right. I can read a script. I can train myself to read a script. I don't mind. I like reading scripts, actually. Cannot read a play.
A play is a script. There's no difference.
There is a difference, and I will explain to you why the difference in my head is. I thought about this a lot.
Hold on, let me set my eyes to roll.
You already did it. You guys are both eye rolling. In a movie script, you can read the action of the camera. You can't do that in a play. So
you can read the action of the actors.
Which is why I don't like it, because actors are like, I'm gonna go over here now! And it's just, it reads so... basic. It's just very...
Do you like seeing plays?
No.
Really?
Not really.
Because I don't really like... I don't really care for reading plays, and I don't know where that stems... I think maybe I was never really trained to read a play. Like, I know... Like, I know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for reading for enjoyment, like, you know, if I'm auditioning for something, I'll read it.
Right.
But the idea of, like, you know what I'm going to read this week? The Lieutenant of Inishmore by Martin Dugard. Like, it doesn't, like... And Peter, if you're listening, he gave it to me as my birthday gift this past
Peter
summer.
From here?
Yeah, Peter that I work with. I like that. That's sedated.
He gets a small one.
That's kind of like him, though. He's a little chill. Yeah. He gave me that play, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. Thanks so much. It was by the same guy that wrote the movie with the redheaded guy and the Irish actor who got arrested all the time.
Redheaded guy, Irish actor.
And Voldemort's in it. Ah, what the fuck is that?
In Bruges.
In Bruges, thank you. Same guy who wrote In Bruges wrote this play. Got there with it.
You guys are funny together.
You said Voldemort, and I was like, In Bruges.
Yeah, he was good in that, too.
He was. He's funny.
And that. I was like, cool, this is great. Like, it's a very thoughtful gift that I'll never read.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I think plays are something... Like you know, you act. We've all acted here,
right? But my stuff's mostly theater. Is I think what
I have
at.
Never acted in theater, so I don't know. I think that's where the love of theater and plays comes from—the acting side of it.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't speak to that because I've never done it.
What about you, Zane?
I don't like sitting down to read a play as though it were a novel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like. Being handed, like, I hated in high school when you'd get handed Romeo and Juliet or Othello or whatever, and you had to read it as though it was literature, but it's a play.
Right.
That pisses me off. I don't like it. It's not the way that you are supposed to consume that, even though, like, it speaks volumes of Shakespeare that you can still, like, read it sort of as though it were literature, and you can still... tell that it's a great story, even like in print, but that's not the way that it was meant to be consumed. So I don't like to sit down with like a book that's actually just
a play,
like a script, and read it. However, in the context of like, you know, I was a drama student and I was in all the school plays and everything, and that's basically like my brush with acting, but Like, I don't mind sitting down. Like, I didn't mind sitting in the drama room and reading through plays and scripts to try and find, like, a monologue to read or, you know, like, a scene to do with a partner. Like, in that context, that awesome I don't mind reading a play. And I feel the same way about, like, when we read through scripts and stuff. To me, it's about, this isn't the end game. You know, like when you read a play with the intention of performing it later or the intention of directing it later or building sets for it or whatever.
Right.
It's like, well, this is like a means to an end. Like it's like reading
I have to read it. I have to read it because I need to know the lines.
Even less than like an obligation, it's like this is a building block to a bigger thing. Right. That's how I felt about reading scripts. Like I don't mind reading scripts if it's something that I'm going to eventually act out or eventually produce or whatever, like that has like a greater purpose to it. And you can visualize like what it's going to be like and how you're going to put it into action.
Right.
But to sit down with like, even something really great, like I was saying about Inherit the Wind, like we all had to read that in school and like Inherit the Wind is great.
I'd rather just get the movie. You know what I mean? I'd rather just watch.
Well, and I was also thinking like, did any of you read Inherit the Wind in school and not watch the movie at the end of like that?
Yeah, right.
Like
I know every time we read Romeo and Juliet, we watched the 18 different versions of Romeo and Juliet.
Or you've ever seen, like, if you were in high school and you read Richard III and your teacher didn't show you the Kenneth Branagh Richard III, at least the battle scene.
That's what we watched.
Exactly, because it's amazing filmmaking. Kenneth Branagh has an ability to take Shakespeare and make it, like, accessible.
Yeah.
I don't find it accessible when I sit down to read, because I have these memories of being in, like, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade, and, like, the assignments were read lines 41 through 67. Yeah. And it's like, wait, what? It's like being told to read the Bible in order. You know what I mean?
It felt very much like that, which is, I think, the misunderstanding with, or, like, the disconnect between, like, learning about plays and reading these, like, great plays, you know? Like, people acted these out. Like, that's where the life of the play comes from.
That's why they endure. Yeah.
That's why they exist. Yeah. Like, in the story, and, like, with Shakespeare, it's kind of like being like, we're going to learn about basketball today, so we're going to watch these three Michael Jordan dunks. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're taking, like, the guy who invented storytelling in, like, the past 1,000 years, you know? But, like, I don't know, the last time I was at a play, I think I, like, walked, like, I left. I think I was just like, okay, I'm going to go now.
I love going to plays. And I really like going to musicals. Like, I get caught up in musicals. I do, dude. Last year or the year before, I went and saw, I mean, it was the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, dude. Yeah. It's brilliant, brilliant writing.
Yeah.
Do you go, Zane, are you a fan of the theater? Legitimate theater?
I'm,
spelled R-E.
Legitimate theater? No. But
born
like,
out of wedlock theater?
Donkey shows, yes.
But like high school and middle school productions? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm down with that too.
So much fun. Because it's fun and it doesn't
inside.
And it doesn't matter when it's bad.
It's better when
A lot of plays are really, really, really bad.
Right.
And it's kind of in some ways it's a little bit outdated to like watch a play and perform in a play, and it's a very certain kind of acting that has sort of become synonymous with hokey or cheesy or over the top, because we're used to movie actors who can use subtlety and stuff, and you can't do that on stage.
Right.
So when when you see actors acting on stage, it's very overblown because it has to make it all the way to the back of the
room. It's so beautiful.
In the context of a high school or middle school play, fucking awesome. Yeah. I love it. Every spring, I'm like, we have to go.
Just go to the place.
A couple of
weeks
ago.
Why not? They need to sell tickets.
A couple of weeks ago, my niece is in middle school.
Why not? Why is that weird?
She's her school did a production of Shrek. And we all decided, like my whole family decided to go. And we got there, and we found out, like I didn't know, but she was actually playing the viola.
In the
orchestra.
Yeah.
So it was a middle school production of Shrek, and it was the full show. Like, it was not
the
abridged
whole movie?
At all. I've never seen the movie. I've only ever seen this play.
You've read Shakespeare, but you've never seen Shrek?
Yes, that is an accurate depiction of my breadth of knowledge. My kids aren't into it yet, and I can't stand.
It's not that great.
Yeah. Anyway, I was blown away by the idea that a middle school production would have a middle school orchestra.
Orchestra.
With full accompaniment.
It's so good.
The orchestra was really good. So here's the thing. So, like, the two leads are Shrek, right? And Fiona is the princess who, by the way, she turns out she's a troll, guys.
She's...
Or an ogre, whatever the hell he is. I don't know. Whatever.
Wait, what?
The end, she turns out to be an ogre.
She stays that way.
Dude, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm literally the only person in the world who's never seen Shrek.
She stays that way, I think, because she has a choice or something.
No, that's not how it was presented to me. Anyway, the girl who played Fiona,
reread this play,
was phenomenal. Like, she had this beautiful singing voice, and she had real stage presence, and she was like, she hit all her marks. She was captivating. The kid who played Shrek... Dude, you would have thought he'd been handed the script, like, when he walked on
stage. It might have been.
You remember this. There is, like, a lack of talented
boys. It's a dry pool.
It's all the girls with the,
And, like, dude, there's, like, a part where he has to break up the wedding of the little guy. And
Farquaad or that's whatever. It.
Wow. You know, you're Shrek.
Josh watched it last night.
In preparation for this.
It was sleepy time, and I needed to put something on so I could go sleepy.
And, like, Shrek comes in, he has to bust up the wedding, right? Because he realizes he's in love with Fiona.
It's Wayne's World 2.
And it's exactly Wayne's World 2.
/ The Graduate.
So he comes in, and he's like, you know, he's like, the line, I'm sure the line on page is, you know, stop the wedding.
Yeah, stop the wedding, or whatever, yeah.
So the kid walks in. He walks in, like, shambles in.
Stop the wedding.
With his back to the audience.
Nice.
Stop the wedding. Like that. Like, that's it. That's his read.
But that's how you would do it in real life. This kid's a method actor. You wouldn't walk into a wedding like, stop the wedding!
If you were a play actor, you would.
That's
because you
thing.
Go through life like that if you're in theater.
I don't like it. I like... Screen
but see,
acting.
That's, I think that's why I find like school plays very digestible because it takes that like crazy over the top silliness that's just inherent in theater acting, and it doesn't take itself too seriously because it's a school production.
Yeah,
and it's okay when it's crappy, and so it's just entertaining all the way through. And I have no expectations, so if they do anything even mildly entertaining on stage, yes, great. This is great.
Dude, I was walking around Midtown.
It's the best.
I was walking around Midtown like 2 weeks ago in Manhattan, and I'm like, every theater I walk past, I'm like, ooh, Chicago.
Oh my god.
Ooh, what's her name? Carol.
Burnett.
No.
Osborne.
No. The Gilmore Girls singer.
Oh, Carol King.
Carol King musical. I'm like, I love to see that. Book of Mormon, I've seen it. I'll go see it again on Broadway.
Get your tickets, because y'all wait 6 months.
No, dude, there's like 8 people on every single street corner like, yo, tickets, get your Broadway tickets.
Yeah, but that's scalping, and that's illegal in New York City.
First of all, I think that is culturally appropriating something.
I'm sorry.
Scalping.
Second of all, oops.
Nothing's illegal in New York City.
That's true.
Trust me.
Topless, you can go topless if you're a woman.
I did. Oh.
Not a transitioning woman.
We're going to get an angry email or two.
Someone's getting an angry email.
All of a sudden.
What? Yeah, all of a sudden. Yes, it took us 57 episodes to get.
No, it just took us 22 minutes this episode.
I always think about high school and, like, the kids who, like, took theater real serious. Because that's when you start to, like, get your, like, world view, right? You start to, like, become
a
person.
You think you do.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm getting. Yeah. You think you're starting to become a human. So, like, I always think about these kids who, like, are going to take it really seriously, and I always get this, like, real, like secondhand embarrassment, because, like, they weren't good. They weren't.
No, I know.
Not that I was good at
it,
but
they were the best of the talent pool of your high school, and that's what, like,
they were the ones who tried the most.
That's what part of, I mean, not to be a motivational speaker or, like, a kitten poster, that's part of being the best. Like, trying is, like.
Sure. Or you're just great.
Man,
some people are just good at stuff.
Yeah, but in order to be good at it, you have to show it to other people.
Sure. Also, you have to start somewhere. I was always really frustrated. No one ever sat down and said to me, like, in an art class, like, listen, like, the first 10 years you make art,
it's
like,
terrible.
You're
going to
be really
bad
at it, and you're going to hate your art, and you're going to want to burn it as soon as you make it. But it's important that you keep doing it. And that it's the same way with, like, plays and acting and everything. Like, no, of course the kids in drama were terrible.
Right.
But that's how you get better, is, like, you fuck up wildly on stage.
Spoiler alert, none of them got better.
I'm gonna count.
I wanted to be an aspiring play critic. Now look at me. I'm critiquing their plays.
Wait, you wanted to be an aspiring? So you made it. You made it.
I did it.
You did it. You made it to your goal of aspiring to be something.
Small baby steps.
Damn.
All right.
Josh sucks tonight.
Right? He's all shaken up. You know what? He was angry. He came in angry. He was taking that on us.
He said it too. I said I was worked up today.
Yeah. And we're worked up. We're bearing the brunt of it. That's okay. That's all right. We dish it out sometimes.
That's what happens when Josh can't find butter.
Look.
Or loses all his meats.
Dude, yeah, that happened too.
I killed so many deer.
Josh, what are you going to do next time? Save your game. Right?
I did.
Save your game.
Here's the thing.
Save your game.
Which is funny because you're the one who was like, when we go to break on podcast, you're always like, save it.
Save it.
Yeah. Well,
you should take your own advice, ding dong.
That's different.
Physician, heal thyself.
What is this, a play?
All right, thus endeth the lesson.
Why do they make the play words in that square on the page? With the margins.
That's what they do with scripts too.
Yeah, but it's on a like a flip the script.
All right.
Right? Yeah, I think
we've exhausted this.
All right, cool. Let's take a break and maybe Josh will have some more Chuck Tingle information for us when we get back. Stay tuned. Everybody to episode 57 of Cracking the Spine. Sean here.
Zane.
Josh Henderson.
Oh, first and last.
So you know who I am.
So, there's some good stuff going on the Reddit this week. Somebody said that he looks up to us. I was like, what?
That's crazy. No one should ever look up to anything.
Yeah. Well.
No one should ever look up to anything we do.
Oh, we do. Okay, I thought you were done at anything. I really thought you were like, no one should ever look up to anything.
And that would be a believable thing to come out of his mouth.
That's why I sort of cut it off.
Be your own person.
Or be me.
Don't have heroes. They're just disappointing.
There it is. There it is. But I did want to mention something cool that I found earlier. If you're in the Philadelphia area or thinking of coming to the Philadelphia area.
Is it Chuck Tingle?
No, it's not Chuck Tingle. I didn't tell you guys about it, so I would see how you reacted to it.
Uh-oh.
Eastern State Penitentiary, which is in...
I saw this.
We've been there.
I've never been there.
Zane and I went one time.
We held hands.
I bet you guys had fun.
Josh had to tie his shoe.
It's an abandoned prison in
Philadelphia.
It's not Center City. It's Northern Liberties, right?
Northern Liberties.
Yeah, yes. in Northern Liberties in Philadelphia. And you would know it if you're listening to the show from 12 Monkeys, the insane asylum that Bruce Willis's character meets Brad Pitt's character in, was shot at Eastern State Penitentiary. So, here's a little article I found. Eastern State Penitentiary to transform into Seven Kingdoms of Westeros for new Game of Thrones beer, April 14th.
That's 10 days after my birthday.
One day before your taxes are due.
What are those?
Game of Thrones fans, if you've ever fantasized about lounging on the Iron Throne with a goblet of brew in hand, now is your chance. Hold on, I just want to editorialize here for a second. Why would you dream about sitting on the Iron Throne? Everybody who sits on the Iron Throne gets killed.
Yeah, except that everyone in that world really wants to sit on the Iron Throne, so...
So...
I'm just saying.
Except...
It's What's not, like, name? Outside of the realm of possibility.
All right, well,
I want to sit anywhere with a brew in my hand. I'll sit on an iron throne, a wooden throne. I'll sit on a fucking penis. I don't care.
There it is. All right. On Thursday, April 14th, the historic Eastern State Penitentiary will transform into the Seven Kingdoms. Make your way through the kingdoms and sample the newest Game of Thrones beer. Mm-hmm. Alongside other great Omagong? Sure. Brews. I don't know. In addition to suds, a fine selection of meats and cheeses will be available from DeBruno.
Meats and cheeses!
All right, now I'm in. You didn't have me, but now you got me.
Once you make your way through the Seven Kingdoms, you'll have a chance to sit atop the Iron Throne itself. Don't let all that power go to your head, though. The Iron Throne won't be the only magnificent sight that evening. Fire spinners, live music, and a DJ dance party.
Nope.
Damn.
We'll also be rocking the Seven Kingdoms.
Damn, shut
now,
down.
It's from 8 to 11 on the 14th of April, and it is $55.
What day of the week is the 14th of April?
It's a Thursday.
Oh, everyone just go out on Thursday. That's when we do our
podcast.
Friday.
Maybe we should go do our podcast.
We should live podcast.
Right?
At
the DJ dance. In, dude, that's the thing. Like, the Iron Throne. There's going to be, like, a 2-hour wait for the Iron Throne.
And the event's only 2 hours.
Right? It's 3 hours.
3 hours.
8 to 11 is 3 hours.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. You'll get there. Some of those numbers get hard.
Don't I know it.
Once there's two numbers instead of one, it gets harder. Zane's really sad.
We did it. We broke Zane again.
Wait, so this is for a beer? Do they make the beer here? Who cares? Why are they doing that?
Because they can make $55 per ticket.
All right. Do I get enough? Do I get infinite amount of cheese?
I mean, we paid like $30 each to do that.
We did?
To do the haunted house at Eastern State.
How was that? Was it scary?
No, it was stupid. I tried to kiss a guy, and he got mad at me.
That was a different haunted house.
They're all the same to me, Zane. They're all the same haunted house.
But Josh did try to do that at a haunted house.
He broke character, and he's like, whoa, what the hell, man?
He got so mad at Josh.
He got, like, right in my face,
man. He was, like, centimeters from Josh's face, and so Josh tried to kiss him, and the dude, like, went ape shit.
He got really mad.
He was so mad.
Maybe that was part of the character. Maybe he was like a...
No, he totally broke.
I'm kidding.
He was supposed to be like a serial killer, and then he like was all of a sudden like a really homophobic bro.
Who's the serial killer now, dude?
It was great.
Serial kisser.
No, the Eastern State Penitentiary was the one where you had to keep tying your fucking shoe.
I had Converses. They come undone.
We had to stop like 10 times in the middle of a haunted house so Josh could tie his shoe.
That's like typical go anywhere with me. I'll ruin it for you.
It's ridiculous. But it was a very good haunted house, to answer your question.
Thank you.
Also, we got drunk before it, so
we
it was
got
a little
really
better.
Drunk. We really had to pee the whole time.
I had to whiz. They played
Which
Thriller at
scarier,
the end.
Scarier, because it like we were like really crazy.
They played Thriller at the end.
Sounds like you guys had a really, really good time together.
Here we go.
We did. Actually, it wasn't just the two of us. Riv was
Riv
there.
Riv was there.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's awesome. That's
we tried to call.
I wouldn't
you.
Want to be a fourth wheel for your
I
third
think
wheel situation.
You're a haunted house. Letter got lost in the mail.
You should get there soon. All right,
cool.
All right,
all right. I can't wait.
In 2011.
I'll go check the post office. Oh, they're closed. Never mind. All right, cool. You know, send suggestions. Twitter.
Well,
or,
and tell us how you feel about plays.
Oh, right.
Reading
yeah,
plays.
That's
do
a good
you
call.
Enjoy reading them? Have you? Do you? Did you ever
act in them?
Act in them. Did you see a play? I saw a production of. I think it was a high school production of A Midsummer Night's Dream when I was little, and I, like now
that sounds horrible.
It was awesome.
High school, seriously, high school's doing Shakespeare is like the worst thing in the
it
world.
It was awesome.
What's that
it
movie that's like that play? Is it A Midsummer Night's Dream? Is it called that? Wait, what's the movie?
What Dreams May Come?
No, shit. What's the one that takes place in Georgia? And
Steel Magnolias?
No. Oh, it's gonna kill me. Go on, next all right. segment.
All right, cool.
If you can think of what Josh
no
is talking about, please let us know.
Is Kevin Spacey in it?
Oh, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing like the... No, not a midnight... No.
But they both take place at midnight.
Sure.
Okay, that's right. Where I was getting confused. All right.
All right, that's just about going to do it because we're done.
We're done.
I really contributed today.
You did. Yeah, I think we all did. I think we should all give ourselves a little pat on the back. There it is. And
Josh didn't do it.
We'll take a week to, you know, process it, and we'll be back next week with some more awesome stuff right for you. Sure. Alright. See you later.
Bye bye.
Now, Cracking the Spine presents a dramatic reading, a one-act play, The History of Why the Chicken Crossed the Road by Jenye James.
My favorite play.
I will be Sean reading the stage directions. Our cast this evening includes Zane playing the part of Elizabeth, and Josh, who will be playing the part of Clark.
I'm bowing, but you can't see it.
Setting. Office of Knickerbocker Magazine in New York City, 1847. At Rise, we see a small print shop with a large desk, a printing press, and papers stacked everywhere. There is a window looking out on New York City. We see that the sun is setting. Lewis Clark sits reading at the desk. He is wearing a suit that is unkempt. A clock chimes. Clark looks up to see what time it is.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth, hurry up with that! The draft is due in an hour!
Elizabeth rushes in carrying a large stack of papers. She's wearing a simple dress and an apron smeared with ink.
Here they are, sir.
Just before she reaches the desk, she trips and the papers go flying.
Oh, Elizabeth! Must you be so clumsy? There's no question mark there.
I'm sorry, sir. So sorry.
Elizabeth begins to pick the papers up off the floor.
It's just been a long day.
Yes, it has been. And it will be even longer if you don't hurry up. You know how these writers get if the magazine isn't on schedule. If the Knickerbocker is even one day late, they will have my head.
Elizabeth finished gathering the spilled pages and sets them in front of Clark.
I'm sorry, Mr. Clark. I'll be back in Jiff with your tea.
Elizabeth exits.
I prefer Skippy.
Clark begins to sift through the pages. Music begins to play softly.
What a mess that Goyle, Elizabeth. I swear, sometimes I don't even know why I hired her, because she's a dummy.
He sings.
She's clumsy, she's late, she's way too cheerful, that girl. Her tea is awful, I'd rather drink coffee. Her spelling's atrocious, her writing's even worse. That girl, I don't know why, Elizabeth, that girl.
Elizabeth returns with the tea, narrowly avoiding a second spill. She sets it on the desk.
Anything else, sir?
No, that is all!
Elizabeth begins to exit, but just before she gets off stage, Clark calls her name.
Elizabeth!
Yes, Mr. Clark?
Clark picks up a page and points to it.
What is this?
A riddle, sir.
A riddle?
Yes, you told me just last week that I could write one riddle for this next edition.
I did?
Yes, Mr. Clark.
And this is your riddle?
Yes.
I don't like it.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Does that mean you are not going to print it? I work so hard.
Hard work? Hard work alone does not merit a place in my magazine. It must be worthy as well. And most importantly, I must like it. Otherwise, what kind of an editor would I be?
Elizabeth to herself.
A fair one.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I just think this particular riddle is, well, bad. If you can come up with another one within an hour, I will consider putting it in. Otherwise, there's always next month.
There's no way I can come up with another in an hour. Are you sure you won't consider this one? Do you even understand it?
How dare you question my understanding?
What I mean is, will you let me tell the story behind it?
We haven't the time.
Please,
this is
Mr. Clark.
A one-act play.
It will only take a minute or two. Maybe after I explain it, then you'll understand. Like it a little better.
All right, you have 2 minutes to convince me that this riddle is indeed a valuable addition to this edition. That's a pun. Although I'm not sure how much that is going to do.
Music begins playing softly as she speaks.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. You see, it all started on Monday morning. I was running late.
You are always running late, ma'am.
Anyway, I was coming down 45th between Broadway and 6th, I think.
Name dropper.
When all of a sudden this thing appeared out of nowhere and ran across the road, nearly tripping me.
Doesn't take much to do that because you're clumsy.
Elizabeth sings.
I'm not singing this.
I'll sing it for you, Elizabeth. This thing is a blur I could not see. Ran right in front of me. What was I to do? What had caused my slip? I'm Elizabeth. What had interrupted my morning trip? This one rhymes. And scene.
And scene.
That's how you play act, people.
And that concludes the dramatic reading of The History of Why the Chicken Crossed the Road by Jenye James.
Sorry, Jenye.
My favorite part was my singing.